If you're listening to this, you already know our podcast. You may have even watched us on YouTube, but some of the most unforgettable moments in Glass Cannon history didn't happen in a recording studio. They happened live. In 2026, we're taking that energy on the road with an all-new touring show, Call of Cthulhu Live. Each city will experience its own unique, standalone story of cosmic horror, and we're coming to Madison on October 15th. You can get your tickets today at glasscannonnetwork.com/tour. And if you'd like to upgrade your experience with early entry for exclusive pre-show access and a meet and greet with the cast before the show, grab one of the limited BIGCP packages at checkout. Just head to glasscannonnetwork.com/tour and we'll see you in Madison.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of the Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Everyone to We Shouldn't Be Alive on the Glass Cannon Network, the show that Jared's friend Jeff said sounds pretty cool.
He said it sounds sick.
Oh, he said it sounds sick.
Yeah.
Sick. Jared was telling him war stories, literal war stories from his Twilight 2000 campaign. That's what we're going to be playing today. And Jeff thinks it's pretty cool. I mean, I'm excited to hear this. I don't know, Jeff. But Jeff sounds
Jeff
like a cool dude.
Apparently, Ross and Jared hang out with Jeff and not me. I don't know him. I've never met him. I don't know his last name. I don't know what his deal is. But
this is our first time hearing about Jeff. We'd never even heard of Jeff before.
Yeah. Feeling a little left out.
I assure you, Jeff is real. And Ross has met him, right, Ross?
That's right. I'm also a friend of Jeff. We are friends of Jeff.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they're all friends, Mary Lou. Like, at least Skid and I have the excuse. Like, we're out here on the East Coast. It would be, it would be impractical to invite us to a hang. But you live right there. This
seems
weird.
So Jeff is a misogynist. I'm just assuming.
No. We hang out with another woman with Jeff.
Okay.
We keep the cap at one, but yeah, we definitely do.
Okay. It says right, no homers. So,
if there was more than one woman at the hang, it would be easy for them to disagree with us.
That's true.
Then they would have, right.
That's true.
Much more challenging for them to disagree when it's only one.
Right. All right. Well, I'll try and find another way in there.
I got this, by the way.
What's that?
I don't know if I mentioned.
Ooh.
I got the Survivor's Guide to the United Kingdom. This was published during the second edition run of the game.
Oh,
and
awesome.
This goes through like the state of the UK during this period. It's pretty cool.
God, that's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to call this canonical to our game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
what are all those red spots? Nuclear hot zones, I bet.
Radiation.
Uh-oh.
No-go. No-go zones. Lots of them.
Is it still in the plastic or is it
threads?
Just that shiny?
It's actually, yeah, it's a very good condition.
Oh, no, not nice. Cabotin Gorgeous. Upon South Farthing.
No. No. Toad oh, on Entwistle is.
What about Glen Nor with a Shirton?
Glen Nor a Fisher.
Glen yeah. Nor with a Shirton.
Yeah. You know.
Oh no. Their little parish priest never got to solve that murder he was working on.
Oh.
Just children dancing around a maypole and then mushroom cloud.
Yep.
A bluey.
Yep. Brutal. Oh man. Brutal.
I thought a lot when we started this new campaign about not setting it in Poland. I was like, you know, we could set it in the U.S., we could set it in the U.K. I didn't even know that supplement existed. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to have to look at that.
I didn't remember this.
For
future
versions.
I was Googling
versions.
Other supplements, and this came up. I have some other ones in the mail that are arriving soon.
that's so awesome.
Yeah, but I never heard of this. I was like, oh, awesome. Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
When
but
was
I,
that
I
put
figured,
out? Is that from the 80s?
This was published in 1990. Actually.
Wow. That's so, older than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically the 80s.
Not in as good shape as Mary Lou, though.
Stop!
Mint condition.
Yeah. This is near mint.
Are you guys finding this thing where you're like weirdly patriotic for Poland right now?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Even in the
I've
Winter
been collecting
Olympics,
Polish
I was like.
Books.
Ah, yeah. In the Winter Olympics, I would like see a Polish, skeleton, skeletoner and be like, ah, Poland.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what's cool? In the game, we're also going to see Polish skeletons.
That's lots.
That's so true.
Lots of
I mean,
yes.
Technically, we have two Polish skeletons in the party already.
Right. Okay.
They're,
yeah.
They're covered
they're just concealed
in
by flesh.
Yeah. Polish yeah. flesh and Polish hair.
My polophilia was already cooking because you don't spend as much time in Chicago as I have without meeting a lot of very charming Polish people, including my one time landlord, Helen Jorski.
Helen,
hope you're doing great. And I will
That's
never
awesome.
Forget going to the. West side of Chicago to the deep Polish neighborhoods and going to a Polish dance club called Jedenka and just walking into a cloud of cologne and listening to Eurotrance.
Yes.
It changed my life.
I used to pull some tail at Jedenka, man.
Yeah, J-Logs used to really work the crowd at Jedenka.
I was on the prowl at Jedenka. You know?
Totally, dude.
Yeah, load up on pierogies, go to Jedenka.
Ooh, that's right.
I mean, slightly different, a little south, I guess, Balkans. Balkans are a little south, but I remember going back in my 20s to the Bulgarian disco in the village. Whoa. And just same thing. Absolute wall of cologne and just this amazing music. That just
happened. Your favorite
everybody,
kind of music.
My favorite, Bulgarian disco. It was the best.
There's nothing better to dance brainlessly too than like Euro trance, you know, yeah, when you're just trying to like step touch and like, you know, there's nothing better. It's awesome.
Yeah, to
awesome.
Just lose your mind in a crowd of guys in tracksuits, all of whom have the same haircut. Just
yeah,
going.
They're all on the same team. It's amazing. Make it very clear. We are very excited to jump back into our campaign that Jeff thinks sounds sick. And we're
Thanks,
going
Jeff.
To come back here in a second with a brief recap and then pick up right where we left off. There's a very, very important role coming immediately, coming imminently for this party. Stay tuned. It's coming up next.
I just remembered.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Oh, please, not that music. That music gives me nightmares from my childhood.
Could we get something a little bit lighter? Some lighter music here.
Are you a fan of true crime TV shows?
And what about Unsolved Mysteries, the show that jump-started all of our love of true crime?
I'm Ellen Marsh.
And I'm Joey Taranto.
And we host I Think Not, a true crime comedy podcast covering some of the wildest stories from your favorite true crime campy TV shows all the way to Unsolved Mysteries.
Baby, you will laugh, you will cry, you'll think about true crime in a whole new way, and you'll also ask yourself, who gave these people mics?
New episodes of I Think Not are released every Wednesday with bonus episodes out every Thursday on Patreon.
And every Monday, you can listen to our true crime run down where we go over the top true crime headlines of the week.
So come and join us wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We're back. This game, man, more than any other I've played lately, has a lot of physical stuff to operate out of. Because you're improvising so much, you need to have like these decks of cards and these lists of encounters and these like tables of different NPCs, and then you add player's guide, referee's manual, urban operations, the unique dice for the game. I mean, all of it comes in the starter set, which is pretty — that starter set is sick. Battle maps, really good world map, and two books, all the dice you need.
I bought a real gun to go with my stuff.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. That'll really get you in the zone.
A six hour 9mm.
Oh, that's a great gun. I love that gun.
Jared, yeah, when we went off.
he's going to go get it and show it to us. Okay.
You know what? I left it in the bathroom.
It's sitting next to your daughter's rubber duck.
My baby's crib. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Your kids will get it and put it away.
Well, you know, I sit on the toilet and just look at it.
Is that where you clean it? Yeah, that's nice.
That's Hello, really darkness, good. That's nice. My
Oh my god, amazing. All right, last week on We Shouldn't Be Alive, the crew was what a hell of a medical episode, as the crew realized in breaking off a firefight with a Polish squad that thought they were ambushing Soviets, realized that we're on the same side here, and already friendly fire had been exchanged. In a rush, Dade tried to help three different gunshot victims to try to stabilize them, and succeeded in all three. However, one is still on the verge of possibly dying in the coming days, but Dade has definitely bought her some time. In the melee, though, or in the encounter, though, Dade took a shot to the neck that passed through, however, tore open some flesh and exposed his skin pretty nastily. Maybe a couple stitches might have been necessary. Lime took a shot directly to the body armor, which blocked the bullet itself, but gave a nasty, nasty bruise to his midsection. The other two stayed unhurt in this particular encounter. However, you were invited by the team, this Polish sort of civilian squad that was trying to ambush a Soviet jeep, back to their house, where, quote unquote, house — they're staying in a barn — and they offered you some food and a night's rest in exchange for Dade's medical help. Over the course of that exchange, you learned a little bit about them. I don't have to go into great details, but you can tell people are kind of coming together here. A lot of people have lost family and friends, and their strangers are coming together in these small bands that are helping each other survive. And that seemed to be the case here. They were desperate to get a vehicle. They thought it would only come from a Soviet military because that's the only vehicles they've seen passing through. They will take one of those and try to get west and get out of this area that seems to be swarming with Soviets. Unfortunately, you're not able to help them go that way because you have other plans in mind. After arrest, after recovery — and we'll go over in a second the mechanical nature of this — your mission ahead of you is to head to Leżajsk and attempt to free some rumored prisoners that are prisoners of criminals, the Zelensky family, the Zelensky group, an organized crime family that operates over a large swath of eastern Poland and has now, with the absence of any kind of law enforcement, stepped out into the light and been able to kind of do whatever they wish. And apparently they have some forced labor going on. And it's rumored that they are selling bullets and potentially even weapons to the Soviets. Mm-hmm. And so you guys want to stop this, shut this down. And Legice is about 30 to 40 kilometers from your current location. Your goal.
And also what I just noticed was how close Legice is to an enormous radiated bomb site area.
Yeah, nobody mentioned that before.
Yeah. Oh.
We didn't think about that. We didn't talk about that.
Can I ask, what direction is the river flowing? North or south?
Northwest. It is the San River, or San, or San. I assume it's San River. I did a lot of research on this, Mary Lou, because I thought you might ask. And if I'm not mistaken, the San River flows out of the highlands in Ukraine northwest through into these Polish lands before it meets with the other river whose name I can't remember right now. I can't remember it right now. But it merges with another major river near, I didn't practice this pronunciation, but Sandomierz? I don't know. We'll get there eventually. But it flows to the northwest is the quick answer to your question.
By the way, don't forget I'm a boating specialist if anybody wants to hop on the river at some point.
Never forgot, pal. Never forgot.
Never forgot. Yeah. How could we?
Such an important part of
boating,
your character.
Playing violin, you know.
Yeah. Stroke.
The things you need.
Stroke.
After the apocalypse.
Hey. Hey.
Didn't we find a violin? Did we find a violin?
Yeah, we did. Found a violin. The supermarket in the Foot Locker, whatever, that sealed locker.
I just want to remind Jared that this was an entire campaign in the original game was geared around navigating the Vistula River.
Oh, really?
Maybe that's the Vistula.
That's probably the Vistula, yeah.
The one that it, yeah, because that it goes right between Warsaw and Krakow. So I would assume it's, you know, if that original campaign was that waterway, then it's probably the Vistula.
Yeah.
This would be easily answered with a quick search online, and I will do that. In the meantime, the very last thing that happened, if we want to just kind of focus on the final moments of the episode, Dade was in, right before that, sorry, it's important to note that Zofia had to try to patch up Dade because he couldn't, the wound was in the back of his neck, kind of backside of his neck, and it was going to be challenging to do that himself. So he talked Zofia through it. She bandaged it, cleaned it, maybe did a suture or two, we're not sure. But in either case, stabilized the wound, however, failed the medical aid check, which we know, Dade does 100% know, is exposing Dade to potential wound infection. And that's something that we're going to deal with.
Sorry.
I would say right now, except when this episode opens, we start on a black screen. And you know what, Ross? Take it from here. I'm going to have Ross do the opening scene this week.
Dade is in the barn and he feels the stinging in his wound. He rises up, sees everyone else sacked out, exhausted and sleeping there in the barn. He walks out into the cool evening night, feels the kind of cold breeze, and sees a light of a television inside the house of the Poles that he spent the day trying to pull bullets, their own bullets, out of. He walks towards the light, through the front door, into the living room, of the house that he lived in as a boy. Smells the cigarette smoke hanging in the air. Hears the labored respiration of his father sitting there on the Lazy Boy with the respirator attached to his nose. Sees the static on the television. Just sees his dad watching him through heavy-lidded eyes. Knows he has to do something. He's got to get his dad's medication. So he walks into the kitchen and opens the cabinets, but all the bottles are in a language he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand any of this language, and just hears the scratching. As he walks out the back door into the night, sees the Appalachian Mountains spreading out all around him, hears that scratching, and sees their Shalona scratching on the ground, digging into the earth. As he comes up and sees Shalona looking up at him from the hole that he's dug, and sees his own face there, that she's dug him up, his pale, dead face looking up to him through the earth as he comes out of his nightmare. And God, the pain in his shoulder's really bad now.
Oh, man. Awesome. He wakes up and it's dawn. There might be some other movement. I don't think there's a few people, at least in here, that are not sleeping well tonight. And so I think you hear the rustling of bodies. Maybe somebody's walking across a window that is shedding that early dawn, barely light. And you start to feel heat coming off your skin, even though you're chilling and cold. I need a stamina roll. So this is going to determine if your fever will successfully kill this infection or if it's going to win the day. So the stamina roll is not going to be pushed. I think we read that, and we'll see.
Great.
Oh, man. Here we go.
It is May 8th. By the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mary Lou. She's keeping track of days for us. It is May 8th, 2000.
Yeah.
Days are warm. The nights are cool. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
God, yeah. It's so brutally ironic that he's just like the utter absurd war as hell tragedy of like stumbling into this firefight, realizing that what is going on, and then spending a day like stressed to the absolute limit, pulling bullets we shot out of the bodies of these people. For what? It's like,
for what?
What are we doing? And he will now make his stamina roll. Let's see how he do.
Oh!
So close.
Oh, I...
Okay.
Wow.
I wondered if this was going to come up. I'm reading on
two
page...
Two fives. That's so close.
So close.
So close. Almost successes on both D8 and D10. Just
yeah,
fell
you have
just
a
shy.
BC
in a way, the dice are telling here. The story that the medical aid roll, talking through that little procedure was almost good enough, but not quite. I mean, how can you keep these tools sanitary in conditions like this? And so, yeah, I think at this point he's not dumb. He knows that there's probably like he's gonna go septic if something doesn't happen here soon.
Okay.
And we don't have any access to any antibiotics. They don't have a line on any or anything.
Well, we have medical parts.
Medical parts.
Medical parts, which as we've discussed, can kind of be ruled to be kind of particular particularly efficacious medical devices as needed. But I don't know at this point if the medical part that we have is relevant to our situation.
Well, could we do a medical aid check to see if we could get the right drug, the right dosage to help him?
I would say based on what I'm trying to do with medical parts, that you can say that you can say one of those medical parts can be used, and it is antibiotics. The whole Great. Idea of these is to simplify okay. this a little bit. Now, yes. I'll say, so I'm also reading this entry on 81, and again, I struggle with this sometimes, but I don't see anything that says you can't push the roll. It just feels to me like it's not a typical skill roll. You know, it feels like
it's a passive roll, technically.
What can I know? Because I don't understand what is happening to him. I don't know what has happened.
So what has happened is the wound...
infection is taking hold.
Yeah, so the wound, if he's ever injured by an outside projectile or an outside source or the claw of an animal or the bite of an animal, you are at risk of infection. You have to make a stamina roll modified by the virulence rating of the disease. The disease in this case is just wound infection. That's the disease, and it has no modifier. So some diseases have modifiers to help you with the roll because they're easier to get over, such as food poisoning is a +2 to the roll. Pneumonia is a +1. Typhoid is a +1, right? But then you get down to all the way at the bottom, plague is -3 to your roll, right?
Yeah, so like, don't get plague.
Right.
Well, in this new world, I bet you plague starts spreading again.
But absolutely.
Yeah. So his wound has been infected. Now we're because the medic right. when you are wounded, you must succeed at a medical aid roll to not have to roll the infection. But we failed the medical aid roll, even on the push.
So I had to roll the stamina in order to see if
In order to see if infection set in, and it does. So this is called an infection roll. If you fail the roll, you fall ill, which has two effects. One, you immediately suffer 1 point of damage. So okay. I'm not sure what you were at, but you suffer.
I had already taken some damage from the wound itself, of course. I think my hit capacity was up to 3. So now it's up to 4. I'm one away from filling that hit capacity bar.
My God. Okay, so you're one away from filling the hit capacity bar, and you can't heal damage. That's the other effect of having a disease. Your symptoms of this disease are listed, and it's just fever. So you have a fever. It has no mechanical effect beyond the hit point damage that you're taking. So there's no direct mechanical effect. You can sort of determine how you want to play this.
Okay.
But it does mean... Okay, so you do get a... you know what? I got to look this up. But I'm... if you are cared for someone during the course of your illness, this person can make your infection rolls instead of you. The caregiver rolls medical aid modified by the virulence of the disease. If you are given antibiotics, you get a +3 bonus to this roll.
Okay.
So, but it has no effect against viruses or radiation sickness. So, what I would like to say, and I'm totally open to debate on this, but what I believe happens here is... the medical aid roll is done by Zofia. It is failed, but we don't know that, and the characters don't know that. We're talking about wound infection here, and Dade can't even see it himself without trying to like find a mirror and get that angle, right?
Right.
Immediately when you wake up, you are exposed, and your failure by your body to fight this off means you have an infection. Now you know the medical aid roll failed. And that you have an infection. And I would say at this point, you know, you need antibiotics. But perhaps before that, you didn't want to use one of your final medical parts without knowing that you were already sick. Is everybody cool with that? Does that sound reasonable?
That makes total sense.
So there would be a role today at some point for... somebody else has to make it, though, according to this. Yeah. You have to be cared for. Another person can make your infection roll instead of you. The caregiver rolls medical aid modified by the virulence of the disease, and you can, with antibiotics, you get a plus. The caregiver gets a +3 to the roll.
Okay.
And I would say so narratively, I think, why wouldn't Dade just take care of himself? I just think narratively, he's very sick.
He's feverish. And when you're a fever, you're like...
Right. And this isn't just like it's reading 99, right? Like, you might have like 101, 102 fever. You're burning up right now. You're having strange dreams, and you're starting to maybe not, you know, miss certain details.
Yeah.
So let's play this out. You wake up.
Let's play this out.
Happens?
I feel like maybe you'd notice he's out of sorts. And beads of sweat on his brow, and shaking with chills, and then coming, and then throwing his blanket off.
Dade, look. How are you feeling?
I'm not doing too good. Can you?
You do not look good.
Can you get my Jerlime? And he's kind of trying to lean up on the wall of the barn to sit up. Can you get my Jerlime for me, please?
Yes, I will. Please do not move. Just sit right here. Do not get up. I will get him.
Just give me some water.
Of course.
Some water.
She'll go to the truck, get a ration of water. And so I'm gonna take off a ration of water. I'm gonna bring him one and soak the cleanest maybe rag that we have in it and put it on his forehead. Just sit. I will get Lime. Major, she'll go to wherever he was probably shaving because it's early morning.
Yeah, I'm shaving. Yeah.
Major.
Like a little broken mirror.
Dade is not well. In the night, he gets hot. His skin is sweaty. I do not know the word for this in English. He's hot.
And Lime, like, sort of pushes past her and makes his
push
way.
Her to the ground.
Yeah, throws her to the ground.
What? You think we have time to have small talk?
He's no nonsense. And he goes, like, he's sort of wiping off his face, and he goes over to the barn and comes up to him, and he sees, like, he's got to look pretty scary. It's got to look pretty scary. Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
You
know? It's probably pale,
pallid,
clammy.
Yeah. And it's like, Major Lam, hey, I'm not, I can go on, but I'm not doing so good. I think, I got a fever. I think, and drawing him close, I mean, she did her best, but I mean, he can't get antiseptic tools out here. I mean, it'd be a miracle if them in there aren't feeling the same thing. I think I got some, some antibiotics back in the truck. If I'm gonna need that.
And Lime just like lays the back of his hand on his forehead. He was like,
well, I think you're right there, Mr. Dade. Your medical skills have ascertained your state appropriately. I'll be back. And he goes out to the stash, and he's gonna find just anything with a sillin at the end of it. He's gonna try to.
Hana will be out of the truck, kind of like getting things packed and like kind of arranged and looking through the inventory. And so when she sees Lime grab some medicine, she'll follow him back in.
Yeah, I think Zofia is sort of just like hovering weirdly. Not really close to Dade, but not far either.
Mm-hmm. The others are getting up and going about their morning kind of routine, trying to grab some rations and eat some food, taking care of the woman who was critically injured. The others, the teens, are like not heard from. They're in one of the they're in kind of like a one of the stalls, like a side stall, and Anton, I believe was his name, just tells you that he just reports to you that they're still resting, that they're still sleeping. They don't seem feverish, so we're not sure what else is going on, but there is other activity happening here. One of the other guys who was there leaves with a gun, with like a bolt action rifle, and says that he's going to hunt and early in the morning, and you're left to come in. So, you know, it's, you kind of have the place to yourself at the moment. When you come back in, Lime, you see Dade laying there, and now for the first time you see this, Hannah.
He's he's, Hanya, he's not doing so well.
I'll say this like in Polish.
Hanya, I think I tried to clean his wound, and it did not.
It is not your fault. It is not your fault. Give him the medicine. Right? We have medicine?
Did you find any, Major Lime?
And he gets, like, maybe finds some amoxicillin and checks with the Polish speakers for the translation to make sure. It's like amoxicillin or something. It's like, holds it up. And you have... Sophia, you have medical aid.
I
now,
do
right?
have medical aid now. I got better after my failure.
Well, that's right.
No role necessary. This you can administer the medicine, remove the medical part, but we will not see if it's working for another day.
Okay.
So you can administer that and just remove the medical part. Is somebody
so
doing
those
that?
Are in that? Those are in your cargo or your gear, Rossi.
Yes, I will.
Are they there?
Keeping track of that one.
I see you at two medical parts. So are we down?
So
to
now we're at one.
Down to one medical part. Oh man. Okay.
All right.
I see it now on your sheet. I saw it update. One medical part. Okay.
Well, you can't use a medical part if you're dead. So
that's true.
That's right. Yeah. So, thank you, and I mean, he's taking medicine, and I think you're maybe using that water to kind of, and maybe some alcohol if there's some in this part to kind of see if we can get this thing under control. And so this is a medical aid roll with a +3 bonus because of the antibiotics?
Yes, but I'm not going to roll it right now because it's going to take time to act, and I don't want you to know as players, and I don't want to know either if it's working or not. So you have to decide what you're going to do. Hannah just said she's packing the truck. She's ready to go.
Plans have changed now, obviously. I don't think Hannah's going to just take off without Dade. I think Hannah would like to keep a very close eye on these Poles that ambushed our truck. She does not find them to be a threat anymore. She spent the night with them. But she would like to talk to their leader at some point.
Okay, yeah. So we can do that. We'll say middle of the day. You're deciding to not leave in the morning. You're going to wait and
that
see
would be
if
my
his
vote.
Fever breaks.
No, not to leave with Dade in a state that he's
out. So you have this exchange with him where you explain you're not leaving, not until his fever breaks. And you guys can have this conversation in Polish. And he says, I'm very sad that he got sick after he helped Carolina. I told him last night you were sleeping, but I told him if you are going to Leżajsk, if you want to fight the Soviets, you should take the RPG. I don't have many rockets left, but you should take it. I would go. I would help. But I have to watch after her.
And he looks in this room, and this woman is just comatose right now.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And I am very sad. We are very sad that your friends, your family, you know, we shot them.
you know? This didn't have to happen.
Of course, it was our fault.
But what do you plan to do now?
We wanted to go west. We thought if we steal a truck from some Soviets, kill them, then we could get maybe to Krakow. They say Krakow is... They say there is food there. They say they are growing food there. Even that the ground is not poisoned. And that many people have come and are making a new place there. But we don't know. We don't want to go on foot. I don't know how we cross the Vistula. I don't know. Until we get a vehicle, I'm not sure how we get there. And now, he looks over at Carolina. Now I must wait until her strength is back. It could be weeks, but we are out of food. Thomas went to hunt. I hope he finds something.
Okay. If we can find another car, I will bring it back here.
Well, that would be incredible. It is so hard to find even one. How did you find yours?
It's Sophia's.
Well, she had
it's not
before.
Even paid off. She's just the war hit, and it didn't. It, she doesn't have to pay for it anymore.
Nice.
Yeah. Listen. Is it Thomas who went to hunt?
Yes.
Is he any good at it?
Not as good as the boy. Not as good as Piotr.
But Piotr is...
injured, yes. His leg. He will be fine. He's a strong boy. I only known him a few weeks, but he's strong.
Okay, I will go and see if I can help Thomas.
Okay. I believe he went to the forests northwest of here. He follows along the river in trying to catch any game that is looking for a drink.
I would like to do that. I have decent survival.
Okay. all right, I like the idea of trying this out. Let's try it out. Anybody else want to do anything in the moment before we stay on Hana for another scene?
Yeah. Just while we're talking hunting, do we still have rations from the roadkill, do we not?
Mm-hmm. We have 6 wild food rations.
Which
I was thinking that
don't
I would
keep.
Yeah. I think I would cook them in our cook pot.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I think Zofia sets up shop, maybe makes a small fire. Not in the barn, but near the entrance to the barn where coincidentally she can see where Dade is resting, and keep an eye on him as she's cooking meat in the pot.
Okay. Sounds good. So you are in the process of cooking these wild rations. And we'll go right out of page 148. Cooking.
yes. The
everything.
Cooking rules.
Everything is just like brutally realistically.
Yeah, I mean,
accounted for.
It's simulationish in a way. I also know that we tend to play a lot of times in our games a little bit more of a pulpy, sometimes cinematic feel, which I love as well.
Sure.
So we kind of balance back and forth. If at any time you get tired of tedium, let me know. But to me,
this is not tedium. I
love this.
Yeah, and it's just one role, and it is a survival role. So Zofia, once again, will hold the fate of everyone in her hands.
this is one of my best roles, right? This is one of the very best... skills
really?
That
just,
I have.
Jesus. And survival are that
I want to just make clear that in another game that we play on the Glass Cannon Network, Blood of the Wild, Mary Lou did kill a party member
with not carefully
foraging correctly.
It was, but that was a bad salad. Okay. And
this is totally different.
This is meat.
This is totally
harmless bush meat.
That's totally different. Yeah. Completely different. This is wolves that we killed on the side of the road. No, this is a deer that we hit with our truck.
Yes. Not a deadly salad.
Not a deadly salad.
So, wait a minute. What is your... So you have high skill in recon, tech, and survival?
Yeah, my intelligence is like nasty.
Oh, it's because your intelligence is so high. Yeah. Right.
Awesome. So I have a D12 and a D8.
Oh, that's great. So it's an A&C.
And you can push this one.
And I get a modifier for the cook pot, right?
Yes, because that was an item you scrounged from within Bulgari in an old textile factory.
So is that a
kitchen.
Plus one?
Remember when we all had a good chuckle plus at the cook pot and now it's going to save our lives?
Exactly. That's like, every time I read something off the scrounging table, Jared was like, oh my God.
These tables. Yeah.
Can we just find.
What do the DVDs give us a plus
launcher?
One to? Yeah, do the DVDs give us a plus one to persuade?
What about the cartoon animal mask?
They should.
Okay, I'm clicking roll because I can't look at it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Two successes.
Two successes, that's you're good. You can turn each
good stuff.
Ration, which I believe you had six. Was it six?
Mm-hmm.
Each ration of deer meat from the roadkill can turn into a domestic ration and that has no risk of making anybody ill.
Amazing.
We have a lot of food. We don't have a ton of water.
Yes.
We're right near a river. We'll be fine.
Okay, let's then cut out to the wilderness, to Hana.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you find Tomas and hunt with him? Or do you think that you don't find him and you're hunting on your own?
I'd like to find him. I don't think it's a good idea to go running around in the woods where someone else is out there with a gun and not announce yourself.
Well, give me a recon roll to see if you find him.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You know his general direction, so no penalty to the roll. But it is out in the woods.
Two successes.
Okay. You find a trail, a game trail, and then you see footsteps along that trail. And moving safely, just in case it's not him, you quietly approach, and then you see maybe, you know, whatever it is, 100 meters away, you can see him in the distance moving. You hear the echoes of his footsteps on leaves, and then it comes through to you and you're able to connect with him.
Yeah, she just says, you know, hi, Tomas.
What are you doing out here?
I'm here to help you find game.
Oh, I thought you all were leaving shortly. No?
My friend Dade is sick. We might be here another night.
Oh, well, we will need more food then.
Yeah, so if I'm here, I'm going to pull my weight, right? So,
right.
You see anything, any game out here?
Okay, let's do some hunting rolls. What is your survival, Hana?
It is a D8, a C.
So your survival is a C. That is
so is my intelligence.
That is as good as Tomas. So you will make these rolls and you will get modified by him. Okay. So first, you need to succeed at a survival with a plus one. And this is going to determine if you are able to find any prey.
Okay. Survival with a plus one.
Yes.
Oh,
fail.
A one on the D10.
So pushing would cause stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or would it be damage?
Yes,
it's
pushing.
It's a physical activity, so.
Yes, push. What is survival under?
It's
under intelligence,
yeah,
so it would be stress.
So what, are you sure you rolled that right? I thought you said it was a B and a C. What's your intelligence?
It's a D8. So I instead
oh, okay.
of two D8s, I'm looking at a D10 and a D8. That
all
looks
right.
So
it was right. I'm sorry. Okay.
So
I thought you said, all right.
Let me ask a couple things. Did I lose a point of stress last night by resting?
Yes. You recovered a point of stress by resting.
So
and a
I
point
will.
Of hip capacity if you had any.
Okay, great. So then what I will do is I will push the roll, okay?
Okay, push it.
Let me just find the roll here. Okay,
make sure it's modified by, or just hit push. Just hit push.
Oh. Oh, no.
A fail.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, okay. All right, you win this round. It does say clearly here that when you're hunting, you roll for each person that chooses to hunt. A lot of the rolls are group rolls, which is one roll modified.
Uh-huh.
So, but he does not get to push, and he fails with a natural 4 and a natural 1. So, you are unable to find any prey, and I think that that's interesting.
I do take a stress from pushing that roll, right? Because I rolled a one, so I'm back to where if I take one more stress, I'm out of commission.
He says, "I don't understand what's happening." Before we found animals here that were coming to the riverside to drink, and it was easy to pick them off. But nothing today, nothing.
She is just swiveling all the time. Like, you know, she hears a noise. She's like ducking down. He's like, what's going on? And then she's like, there's nothing, and getting back up. Like, she is just kind of on pins and needles all the time. And I think it's interfering with her ability to hunt.
Go ahead and give me a recon roll.
Okay. Failure.
We'll make that passive because you didn't know you were looking for something, and so you fail. Okay. Man, tough one out there. And then we'll come back into the house and check in with you guys. So anybody else want to do anything? I mean, the problem is you are starting to run low on rations. We can move to the next day unless there's something that you want to do.
I actually was in the middle of fixing Dade's radio when
when we were ambushed.
Crashed. That's so right. I would like to continue tinkering with that radio and see the results.
So now we come into the next scene. I mean, Lime, can you do anything? Sophie's doing all the cooking. She's doing all the radio fixing.
I'm staying by Dade's side the way that he stayed by my side when I was recovering.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah, had a time watch, a time lapse video, you'd see like Major Lime by Dade, like sort of tending to him, and then just in the background, like Sophia, just like, yeah. But like she's just like in a radius, sort of like not really straying too far, just in eyesight. But
okay, and Sophia is we just cut in and we see her just working on this radio, and now that you know you're not leaving today, you've disassembled it. Mm-hmm. So it's like in pieces, but there's like a towel laid out.
Yeah, she's
and
laid
meticulously.
Down
everything is like sort of separated. And we see her slowly looking at the individual components. Which one got fried? Is this something I can fix? Mm-hmm. And then you look over and you reach for your electronic parts. And let's take a break right there. We'll come back. We'll see if Zofia can get a radio cooking and what that will mean for where this adventure goes next. Man, so many things going on. We'll be back in a second.
I'm Ann Foster, and I have never watched the show Spartacus, Blood and Sand.
And I'm Gina Barry, and I've watched this show numerous times.
On our new podcast, Nefer TV, we discuss TV shows and movies set in ancient history. This season, we are discussing Spartacus, Blood, and Sand.
Follow Nefer TV, that's N-E-F-E-R TV, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ashley, host of Crime Salad, and every week, my husband Ricky joins me as my partner in crime. We know the true crime space is crowded, so we skip the loud, bubbly small talk and get straight to the facts of the most gripping cases. If you want to see what we're all about, check out our recent two-parter deep dive, She Saved Him, Can You Save Her?, covering the baffling Rebecca Zahau case. If you want a true crime podcast that feels authentic and respects the details, come check us out. Search Crime Salad wherever you get your podcasts.
Goodbye, Kyle!
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlatta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Maloof in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
We're back as we focus in on Zofia, who has finished cooking and is now repairing. In the meantime, I've gotten out repairing gear rules. Again, I love reading this stuff. I want to focus on this and try to get it right. It's the system is becoming more and more clear to me as we explore these different areas of it. A lot of these mechanics cross over. They are. There's a method to this madness that is very trackable between different kinds of skill checks. And in this one, once an item is broken, you have to use a part, just like we used a part on Dade's broken body. You have to roll a tech roll using a shift of work. And on a success, you increase the reliability rating of the item by how many successes you roll. Similarly, you get, you know, more items if you scrounge and you roll more successes. You get more hit capacity if you roll medical aid and get more successes. So these themes are coming into play for me here, or coming into focus here for me with these, with the system. So let's go ahead and do a roll, Zofia, a tech roll.
I'm already pretty stacked in this. Yeah.
Yeah.
My intelligence is a D12. My tech is a D10. And I have the electrician feat.
Right.
Which means I get +1
this
to
is
tech
two,
rolls.
This is 2 12s.
So this is as good as it gets.
As good as it gets. Let's rock.
Four successes.
Dang.
She maxed it.
She's picking up Radio Tokyo on that thing.
Yeah. Wherever she goes, it's a genius bar.
That's right.
She's like, I broke the person, but a radio I can fix.
Yeah,
I think she finally just like locks in, zeroes in on this. She's on perfect hyper focus. The world outside, she doesn't notice the sun moving. She doesn't feel hungry. She is just locked in on this radio. And puts the last piece together, clicks it on, and hears.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I'm going to keep spinning the classic hits of the 70s and 80s.
And I think she actually
Jack
does
FM.
The...
Yeah, we went there.
Yeah, I think she hears the sound of you know, radio static and like actually goes like, yes!
What? What is
Dave like starts out of his slumber like, daddy.
I fixed your radio. She'll bring it
over to Dade and Lime.
I fixed it. It is working now.
Look at you. He takes your hand. His hand is like, it's like clam. It's a clam jam just on your wrist there. It's like, you're a miracle worker. Dang, look at you. Yeah. And he's like just kind of roving around on the knob.
And it is searching. It is, you know, grabbing at the air for any signals that are coming by. And some time passes. You're not zeroing in on anything, and you at times maybe feel like you You might have heard something, but is that the static messing with your mind after minutes of listening and searching? And you're getting no signals. You're not picking up anything definite, anything for sure. Do you try calling out? Do you try broadcasting? Or are you only listening?
At this point, only listening, like going through. But yeah, I might try calling out. Yeah, of course. Date is eager to hear the voice of home. And yes, he will try calling out.
Okay. As soon as you press the button to broadcast, Anton jumps up and is like, "No, no!" And in Polish, he says, "Tell him not to do that. Tell him it's not smart to do that."
What? Why? Who's listening?
This. I don't know, but I know a little bit about the radio, and I know that the Soviets, if they hear a radio signal, they can locate it. It's not easy. It does not happen without a few different points to triangulate, but if you broadcast, they can find it. You can be heard. And he's looking wide-eyed at you and just speaking Polish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And of course, I'm reading the body language, and like I have not pushed the button. I'm like, so what is he saying? Soviet forces listening in, or?
He says that the Soviets can locate from radio signal.
All right, maybe best not to do anything until we can be reliably on the move. Or, I mean, hopefully we can. But hey, if NATO is calling out, we'll be able to hear him. Thank you.
Really. You're welcome.
Thank you.
This is what I'm good at. Small things and wires and pieces. I put them back together.
No, I know. I know folks like you. You got... Yeah, you're gearhead. Well done.
Gearhead.
Gearhead.
Yes. My head is made of gears. Are you feeling... How are you feeling? The medicine?
Yeah, it's I mean,
is it working? Sometimes and until I'm.
Sometimes with antibiotics, still you feel the pain, then suddenly it just cuts off like a switch. I just feel tired.
I think you should rest. Let the medicine do its job.
Yeah.
Right? Major, yeah. I'm order
Damn,
it's not
better,
him to
easy
rest.
To rest here in the back of a fucking truck.
You will get to America. You will get shotgun from now on. You will get the shotgun.
All right, well.
And then she points a shotgun at him.
Yeah. And yeah, I think I'm like, I don't know if I'm like, what is the translation here? It's like, all right. I'll hold you to that. Kind of just tries to get back to sleep.
Major Lime, how do you think he is going to get better?
We'll have to wait and see. He's young, he's in good health. I believe that you have given him the correct dosage of the amoxicillin. Fortunately, conditions aren't optimal, but I think his chances are good.
I would be sad if we did not travel together anymore. And she'll leave. She'll go to actually fixing that radio, and the rush and that high gave her the idea. We also have a Soviet radio, do we not?
Mm-hmm. You
is
do.
That's also broken.
Correct.
Yeah, she'll start working on that one too. Even though I don't,
that'll probably
I know
have to wait.
Yeah, yeah, light is going down, but she needs something to put her hands on and keep her occupied, and so she's just gonna busy okay. herself just looking at the Soviet radio.
Sounds good. All right, Hannah and Thomas return, sadly, empty-handed. And this crew that's holding up here in the barn is also running low on rations. They're near the end of their supplies.
Hannah does not take a ration tonight.
Okay.
I don't think that's smart, but I think that that's what she does.
Okay.
Perhaps she'll try not to take a food ration, but we have 14 rations of food. Zofia is going to bring her freshly cooked venison stew, and honey,
give it to the others. I'm not hungry.
Hanya, do not be stupid.
I'm fine.
Eat. You are not fine.
I ate yesterday.
What, you ate yesterday? That's crazy. You eat every day. It's something we do every day. You must eat.
Like maybe if in the morning, you know, before before we're leaving, you know, I can go out and I can try to find some more food for these people, you know.
Great. Yes, I would love
then,
for you
know,
to do
maybe
that.
If I'm able to, you know, bring something back, then, you know, I will have something to eat. Okay.
You will have something to eat then, and you will have something to eat now. She's gonna like put it on your lap. This is not an argument.
It smells
really good. I cannot have you. What? You pass out in the forest when you are hunting, and I never find you. What would I do? I'd be stuck with these two men. Please, Anya.
She gives you like this, like long, hard look. Then she starts eating the stew.
Yeah.
And once she starts, it's like kind of messy.
Okay. Got it. All right. So remove 4 food rations and 4 water rations for the day.
We have no more water.
Awesome.
We have 0.
Well, it looks like before we free the bullet children, we're going to be just looking for fresh water.
Yes, the search for water.
Search for water.
I wonder where these folks are getting their water. And
they're running low on their supplies as well.
And we just...
Okay. Let's go forward a day, unless anybody has any other business overnight, and we will roll a medical aid roll with a +3 bonus. This is going to be symbolic of an entire day of care between Lime and Zofia. The medication, keeping him kind of cool with cold compresses and stuff like that to keep the fever at a moderate level, and go ahead and give me that roll. I think it's going to be you, Zofia, if you'd like to the roll on screen for us to all share in.
Okay.
This roll can be pushed. It is an active roll that you're doing to
do we have a modifier? Yes.
Plus three.
For the antibiotics.
Yeah.
Okay.
No problem.
And, so +3, though, if that... Wait. That's with +3? That can't be right.
Yeah, that was with a +3.
I thought you said you're... Oh, it's empathy, not intelligence.
Right.
Oh, okay. My God.
So, shit.
Okay, so that was a critical failure, right. And I can't push this?
You can push it. However, I think, in good conscience, I fucking have to undo the roll. I have to undo
Why?
The roll. Because I was in the middle of saying that... I thought that it got you to D12, so I didn't think it really mattered, but I was in the middle of saying that you add a +1 because there's 2 of you that were spending all day doing this. So
oh,
it would
yes.
be +4 to the roll if it doesn't get you past AA.
Yeah.
But you rolled too fast.
I did. I was too scared. I just had to click the button.
I was thinking that. So in good conscience, I think you need to do it again. With
okay.
+4.
+3 yes. from the antibiotics, +1 from there being 2 of us taking care of him the whole time.
Yes.
I swear to God, you guys, if I'm the reason Dade dies, I'm going to kill myself.
You won't be the reason. All right. Oh, there you go. Two successes. Yeah. It was a D10, D10 roll, and you got a 10 on one of the D10s.
Thank God.
Two successes. Okay.
May 9th, the day that Dade lives.
Wow.
The next morning, you rise, you recover a point of hit capacity and a point of stress. Everybody recovers one hit capacity and one stress. Brief check-in with the party. Where's everybody at on hit capacity and stress? Hana.
Yeah, Hana has now backed down to two stress.
Out of
four.
Okay.
And hit capacity clear.
Okay. Lime?
I had suffered some physical damage. I had no stress. All of my physical damage is now healed.
Great. Zofia?
My physical damage was healed yesterday, and today I'm fully unstressed.
Wonderful. And Dade?
I'm unstressed, and because I healed, I'm now down to three on my hit capacity.
Three of five on three hit capacity. Five. So the fever breaks overnight. You wake feeling way better than you did the day before. However, your neck is in pain, just physical pain, because it's any time you move your head in any direction, you can feel the wound almost breaking, right, tearing as if it's ripping again.
I've got to keep my neck stable like I'm the Michael Keaton Batman. I'm just like, can't move my neck.
Exactly. So it is impacting you, but not enough that you're ill in any way.
Right.
What's the plan for this next day? You now have no water. You have food, but you have no water. Talk to me, or talk in character. What do you say in the morning? We can pass over that Dade feels better, and he's the fever has broken, and the antibiotics seem to have worked.
We have to get water. We can try the river. We must cross it anyway.
This is the thing, I don't know where to look for water, because flowing water is that's off the table. Especially because this is flowing directly from a place that we know has been nuked. So we can't get anything from the water. I don't know where to look.
Would a survival roll give us knowledge of where a good place to look for water would be?
You could make like a field distillation sort of thing of
like
digging a pit, stretching something plastic over the top of it, like try to capture condensation. It would take a really long time, but you could get a little bit of water.
That's a good plan if you have a base of operations, but not
right,
for us.
Which we do not. It's something where if you're camping long term. But so survival would maybe find us a cool natural spring.
a lake, pond.
Maybe a Dasani bottling raining. Plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say that a survival role could... Oh, man. This is problematic. I think that your options are survival rolls to look for wild sources of water in terms of rain ditches or something like that. But, you know, even that could be problematic. But whatever. One thing at a time. You can also try to create the water through a distillation process, which would mean almost like home base style stuff. Like you'd have to like settle in for a bit and create this over time. I don't have the rules in front of me. I'm irritated because I have the rules in front of me, but I don't know the rules because I feel like I read at some point about distillation in here, but I'll never find it during an episode. But we can keep poking around on that. And I think you're in the right headspace there, Ross. Then there's also just finding fresh water. That is, obviously, it's not likely, but you can find water on in locations, right? Like scrounging, you could find perhaps bottled water, or you could find it on people. You can find more people and see if you can either steal their water or share their water. Those seem to be the options.
We can forage for water. We can spend a shift foraging for water.
Yep, and it's a survival roll modified by the terrain type, right? Is that what you're
and
thinking?
And the time of year. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at on page 143, foraging. I was just looking through
when foraging
the...
for water, success means that you find enough drinkable water to fill your water bottles.
Mm.
That's it. So only one character can, this is what I read before, can forage for food or water in the same hex during the same shift, but others can help with the roll. For each shift you forage again in the same hex, you get a minus one cumulative modifier. Oh, that's interesting. So if you like went and hunted again, I have to remember that. You take a minus one modifier. I mean, it's not foraging, but it's similar vibe, I feel like. Mm-hmm. This modifier is reset after a week, except in wintertime. Cool rules. Okay, so you can forage for water, and I thought it meant that you got a ration per success, but I think that it's one success from what I'm reading would give you four rations of water, and we'll say five rations of water to include Shalona, because she needs to drink as well.
Okay, so who would like to spend a shift doing that?
So this is the first shift of the day.
Oh, we all go together and then we get the bonus, right?
We can either do that or we can leave, right? We can try and travel to another hex and then look for water. If we feel like...
Here's the thing on that. I feel like every time we travel, we're in danger of being interrupted by one of these tragic events.
You're right. You are correct.
Yes, but you don't know what tragic events. First of all, they're not all tragic, especially from this deck. And
we
secondly,
could find a truck full of water bottles.
Exactly.
Joe, is the next card broken down man. Water truck? Yeah.
Yeah. Sparklets.
A Sparklets truck. Delivery.
I'm just saying, it's a risk that you take, but it is not. Like, plenty of encounter cards are finding supplies. That's the encounter card. So, like, being
I'm pro foraging,
you know.
Sorry. I'm pro foraging now before we set off and going in prepared versus hoping and wishing and praying.
Yeah, that's my vibe too. We're safe here. We know the lay of the land. We know these people. And I like doing it here.
We do have a minus one to the roll. Because of the season, because it's spring.
Oh, interesting.
Spring.
Thank you for picking that up.
It's harder to find water in the spring?
Yep.
Winter and spring, it's harder. It's actually easier in autumn.
Mm-hmm. Autumn is the easiest.
Interesting.
Okay. It's rainier.
Well, we're going to get pluses to the roll for the amount of us that all search together. So you still end up being a pretty good roll.
An even roll.
I've got a D12 and a D8.
Well, we're not going to beat that.
No.
Okay.
Once again.
And then I get
and then
a
you
plus.
Get a plus three. So you're going to get a D12 and a D12.
Oh,
and you can push the roll. So you guys should be in good shape here.
Okay. Here we go.
Let's see.
Okay. Got a success.
Man, you got a success. God, I was just picturing, like, if you roll two ones... That's one of the only ways. Like, you can't even push it and you're out of water. Like, that would be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be a tough roll to hit. To have to hit. Okay. Success means you get five rations of water. So you can put those on your sheet. And that happens and it takes you your first shift. Shifts are a little bit, you can kind of shift, so to speak. That was unintentional. How much time they actually take. I'm going to say that this was your entire morning. To like early afternoon ish. And so, are you going to set out at this point?
Wait, what did we find?
Five rations of water.
No, I know, but I mean, bottled water, a stream.
You would have found, we'll say, rainwater that had collected and not yet, because it had just rained and had
not yet.
That's
right. Okay, great. Okay, excellent. Yeah, let's head out.
Yeah, I think we should go.
Okay. I will say goodbye to... Is it Anton is their sort
of
leader?
Yes, Anton. Oh, so he's going to pass you this RPG, and then he turns around with a small box, and I need you to roll. He's got D3 rockets.
Roll a D3?
Wow, rounds. Rocket rounds.
You want me to roll a D3? It, Jared. Okay. No problem. Here we go. That's going to be 3.
Oh, nice. Man. Jackpot. He turns around with this like beat up cardboard box. It's like a Polish beer box, and it like a beer case box. It's kind of beat up, has been wet and dried again, and inside are 3 rocket rounds for. And okay, so if you want to put this on your sheet, on one of your sheets, you have an RPG-16. An RPG-16 is a smaller version of the RPG-7V intended for use by airborne and Spetsnaz troops.
That's so
sick. It is more accurate than the RPG-7V, but has a smaller warhead and less armor penetration.
Do we want to keep that?
RPG-17?
Do 16. We want to keep that in the truck?
That's up to you. Yeah, do you want to put it in the truck? Are you going to load it in the truck, Hannah? Is that what you're thinking?
Yes.
Isn't there a way you can just like send something to the truck? Or do I have to enter it in the truck's gear, cargo?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't need to add it to my inventory. We're going to put it on the truck, right?
Yes. Unless you want to carry it around, but I think...
No, I don't think it would be smart to carry it around. We'll get it out when we're ready to blow up an entire building or large armored vehicle.
Repeat helicopter. Its name, please. Right.
RPG-16.
Yeah.
I mean, I should just get. I forgot. I should. Are you? Did you put it? We're putting it in the pickup truck.
I just put it in the pickup truck under the weapons category.
Okay. I will put the actual thing in there. Oh, I forgot you have a golf club. Just in case the RPG-16 doesn't work out, you can always fall back on the golf club.
Mm-hmm. I like how there's an option to mount the weapon on the truck. I'm going to mount the golf club on the truck.
Okay. Let's see.
Because of my time in Chicago, I can really picture this beer box that these rockets are rolling around in with a little couple in folkloric dress dancing with each other with the big label, Javits.
There you go. Oh my gosh. Amazing.
So we,
dude,
should
I
we
can't
say
wait
we
to fire this thing. I have a heavy weapons D8 and a strength D10.
Should we say we have 3 in the mag? No.
Okay. So I will put it, yes, but I will put it, I will actually put it here.
Oh, it's under ammo. Right. I'm getting it.
So I put it in there. 3 58mm anti-tank rounds.
Fuck yeah.
Is what it's actually, I believe, what it shoots. I'm remembering this from earlier. Yep. Ammo, 58mm round.
God help the Soviet who tries anything with us now. I just imagine.
But I'll tell you what I'm finding fascinating.
And the back of a pickup truck, you know? You know how in a movie where you're like, where you see somebody come up with it and you're like, oh, fuck!
Yeah.
Like, that's so sick.
And then the theme to the A-Team starts playing.
Yep, exactly. I just love how, one of the things I'm loving is how this increased firepower and potential damage that you could lay into something here with the different weaponry you've collected already in 12 episodes is meaningless if you can't find water. You know?
I know.
It's really it's pretty fascinating. But it's awesome. Okay.
I tell Anton goodbye, and if we find a vehicle in Lejeisk, I will bring it back.
Okay. And we see from a distance, we don't hear all the details, but we see the final goodbyes, the handshakes, the best of lucks, and...
I think Dade maybe takes one more look at that woman laid out in bed and just kind of lays his hand on her forehead and hand on her hand. It's like, I just hope... If she's unresponsive, just wordless. He knows that it's probably... The time is short, but hopefully it'll be comfortable. You're surrounded by family right now, but maybe that's the best you got. See ya. And just kind of walks away, past everyone saying their goodbyes, and just one last little and Shalona falls into step with with him on the way back to the truck.
I think she had been laying, like, by you probably, like, just the entire time. Like, did not move.
Snuffling, licking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me. What's the next step?
Let's hit the road.
Let's get over that bridge.
Yeah. Around the tree and over the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Around the tree and over the bridge.
Oh, God, the tree.
Yeah.
To grandmother's house we go. Yes.
Do we have to move a tree off a road now?
Hold on. Let me get the remove a tree rules. No, you're good. We'll say that you're able to figure out the tree situation outside of the confines of this particular story, but you fix that issue and get on your way to the south to the bridge. Mm-hmm. As you approach the bridge, you see that it is, perhaps looking at the flat map as you were looking, you were not aware of your current height in these high forests that were coming up off the river. The bridge is a straight, flat bridge that's coming at, you know, out from your side and over to the other side to the south. However, it is a significant distance above the river. It's running far below it at the base of these hills that come down, more heavily forested on the north than on the south, but they come down and meet in this river. As you drive over, Lime, you're in the back bed, exposed, you know, open air, in the back bed of the truck, and you're just sitting back there. And as you scan out to the west from the river, or as you're going over the river, you scan out to the west, and you can see it's afternoon light. The sun is shining down, the spring sun is shining down, and maybe there's a little bit of that reflection off the top of the water in the distance as you see the river kind of disappearing into a haze. And you swear you see in the distance a sailboat that is just moving away from you on the river, heading west. And in an instant, it's gone as you cross over, and then trees come by and block your view again.
We didn't even get the chance to use the RPG on it.
Exactly. Stop the truck!
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. We need the practice.
All right, move yourselves a hex. Which way are you going here? I guess there's only one way right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to our random encounter cards.
Goodness. Do I have to make a driving roll?
Give us one of those good random encounters.
Yeah.
Do I have to make a driving roll?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, just to be clear, yes. I think it'll be me and Lime in the bed of the truck now, and Zofia driving, and Dade inside the cab.
Oh, okay, that is an important distinction. Position.
Yeah.
We can actually put that in the truck in the crew.
I did
notes.
Do that. I did adjust that. But for some reason, it says that Dade is like, see how he's like grayed out? Does anybody else see that?
I do see that.
Maybe that's. Yes. Oh, hold on. Dead. I think.
Oh my God, he is. What happened?
No, this is the result of me not knowing how to navigate the sheet. I'm trying to remove hit capacity.
Right click. Having been healed. I did the exact same thing.
Thank you.
I did the exact same thing. I was like, I just keep killing myself. Ah!
Here we go. Now I get it. We're all good.
Okay. Okay. I reduced our fuel, and then I'm going to make a driving roll, and I get a +3 because we're on our road.
Yeah, that's
great. Three successes.
Nice. Okay, it's smooth sailing. You're heading down toward the south, and you see in the distance, perhaps some, maybe a kilometer away, you see a bulky sort of form, a bulky form, either a small building or a large vehicle on the side of the road some distance ahead, and nothing else. There's no trees or woods around it. It's a pretty clear shot between here and there. Do you keep driving, or are you literally stopping your car and looking at this?
Stop.
I'll stop.
Okay.
You just slow to a stop, and we hear your tires crunch, crunch, crunch on the asphalt as you come to a stop. And it's completely quiet all around you. You don't hear anything.
We don't have any kind of magnifying tool.
Lime has a sniper rifle.
I've got my scope.
Lime should take a look at this thing.
I will indeed.
All right, Lime, we see your scope sort of homing in the distance. And I'll say you can see pretty clearly that this is a bus that's on the side of the road and looks completely derelict. The wheels are gone, and one of the front windows is shattered, and it's sitting there roughly a kilometer away, and for the moment you don't see any people. And we're going to stop it right there for today. Give you a little time to decide how you want to approach this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll wrap it up there. Pick it up next time.
Okay.
A derelict bus in the scope.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Tudors were probably the most scandalous dynasty in British history. This season on Vulgar History, we're spilling the tea on this messy, messed up family and the people who had to live through it all. Anne Boleyn and the other wives of Henry VIII are known today from the musical Six, but who were they really? Did any of them actually want to marry him? Henry VIII, the man who was literally the worst? How did two of them manage to escape with their heads intact? We'll also get into historical mysteries, like who really wrote Shakespeare's plays, who was the real Bloody Mary, and what was happening elsewhere in the world while the Tudors were trampling all over England, like the mysterious disappearance of the Roanoke colony and the true story of the girl known as Pocahontas. I'll be joined by Tudor historians, experts, and a few of my friends who really hate Henry VIII to learn all about the Tudors this season on Vulgar History. Because it's Henry VIII all day, every day. Listen to Vulgar History wherever you get podcasts.